It was about a year ago when we were broadcasting My Antonia by Willa Cather and on the radio, and I got a call from a woman named Jennifer, Jennifer Edstrom, who said, "Oh, by the way, my husband is writing a song cycle related to this." And that was just the amazing congruency, because we were all really, really taken right in the middle, as one can only be, of the words of Willa Cather and that great story. And then to find out that there was music being created around it. We'll bring in the composer, Brent, in a minute, but first to Scott Miller. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Bert.
The tenor, singer, and head of the voice department at Whitworth University, and proudly wearing his Nebraska shirt. What the Nebraska's pretty proud of Willa Cather, right?
Yes, very proud.
Yeah. And so that there's a whole organization they found you. You found them, and what's the quick version of that story?
Well, the Cather Project is at the University of Nebraska Lincoln, where I did my graduate study, and then there's also a Cather Foundation in Willa Cather's hometown of Red Cloud. So those are the two big organizations, and the Cather Project came into some money from Willa Cather's nephew a couple years ago, a lot of money, and they were looking for creative projects to use that money and creative ways to expand knowledge of her through artistic projects. And I happened to know someone there named Elizabeth Burke, and she had contacted me about it. And so I said, wow, you know, this sounds like a great opportunity for some musical creativity. And she said, well, what are your ideas? And so I approached my colleague Brent at Whitworth, who was excited about it. And at first, I think Brent was exploring lots of different Cather books and poems and things, but it so happens that this is the centennial year 2018 for the publication of My Antonia. So it, in a way, it came together as a perfect storm.
Yeah, there's a lot of perfect storms involved here. And Brent, whom we know for so many styles, it's pretty important to you to not segregate musical styles, right?
That's right. something that's, I guess, a pet peeve is we tend to segregate jazz and classical music.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's, a world of music.
Yeah. And a song's a song.
And a song's a song, yes.
And that probably did intrigue you, isn't it? Because within the world of jazz, you deal so intently with songs, and songs are special to you, aren't they?
They are. That's really what drives jazz and improvisation, is what we call the Great American Songbook, Cole Porter, and so on. But I also have a real love for classical music and for Schubert and Schumann and these great song composers. So I also love literature. So this, to me, was really a dream project.
Yeah, and was Willa Cather known or unknown to you at the moment?
Be truthful, she was unknown to me, which is odd because I've read most of the great American novelists and a lot of European novels, and so it was a real treat to sort of uncover her.
And then clearly you jumped into this, because when we read about the details about this, you quickly read 3, 4, 5, 6 of her books or something like that?
I did. That was the first part of the process, and I'm really grateful to the Cather Project for providing amount of time to really be able to dwell and think and contemplate this project. So I spent about a year really with that, laying the groundwork by reading most of her most significant novels, and spent some time at the Cather Archives reading her notes and writings on music and visiting the prairie. So it was a real joy.
And that all comes nicely into the title, Prairie Songs Remembering Antonia. Right. And as Scott had mentioned, the My Antonia book, which celebrates its centennial this year. So let's plunge kind of into how one takes a good writer who is a prose writer who writes novels and makes songs out of that.
Yeah. That was the most daunting part, of course, is if there were poems that I could adapt that, I think would have made the work easier. On the other hand, her prose is so poetic. There are just phrases throughout the book that really resonate. And, for example, her descriptions of the landscape and, of course, personalities and love and these different different themes. And so many of the songs were inspired by a specific phrase, and then I would look through the book and take phrases and essentially creating a poem or a lyric from that seed of an idea.
So you were Rodgers and Hammerstein. And so always that never-ending famous thing, you sat down, you had a few of Cather's words. Would part of a tune make you decide on some other words, or did you fully try to figure out the poem before you would get the tune in your head?
Yeah, most of the lyrics are based almost solely on her words, specific phrases, mm-hmm. and I can give an example if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead.
And some of these are, I'd use a little bit of my own, what I call glue, to tie those together. Mm-hmm. So, for example, she writes a lot about the landscape, the prairie landscape, and here's an example of a phrase that resonated with me. She said, "I wanted to walk straight on through the red grass and over the edge of the world, which could not be very far away." And earlier in that chapter, she says, "As I looked about me, I felt that the grass was the country as the water is the sea. The red of the grass made all the great prairie the color of wine stains or a certain seaweeds when they are first washed up." And if you'd like, I could read
please,
the lyrics.
Yeah, now how you changed it.
Yeah, so this was the title of the song based on another phrase, which is called Dome of Heaven. So putting those together, the lyrics sound like this. "The new country lay before me. I wanted to walk straight on through red grass and over the edge of the world. This was the dome of heaven, all there was of it. The earthly wind blowing through me, bringing the smell of ripe fields. The dust and the heat, the burning wind, the grass is the country as the water is the sea. The pale cold light of the winter sunset, it was like the light of truth itself. When the smoky clouds hung low, and the red sun went down behind them with a kind of bitter song, it said, this is reality."
So that's the text for Dome of Heaven, which in a little bit we're about to hear, but I need to do a couple quick digressions before we get there. The first is the famous idea of songs is voice and piano, but you wanted another sound, another voice. Describe that process.
That's right. So as I started the compositional process, one of the things that really struck me was this idea of the immigrant voice in the story that, of course, Antonia and her family, and thought about the idea of if you had nothing but you did have an instrument, the violin would be what you'd bring.
That was about the first instrument into Spokane, too, when it was settled.
Yeah. Exactly. And so Tana, our violinist, really represents that voice. And, in fact, the set opens with a solo violin piece based on a Czechoslovakian travel song. And throughout the piece, she really represents Antonia through the violin.
The violin, so that's Tana Bland, whom we earlier heard playing in the tango band. And then to Tony Flynn, and the circularity of this is kind of absurd because it was from your very book that your son was recording My Antonia for us a year ago, I think, right?
Yes, it was just about a year ago.
And so you, as a good English teacher, but beyond, you've known of Willa Cather for your life, haven't you?
Yes, Willa Cather is in my so-called period of specialization, and I did teach My Antonia about 15 years ago and was thrilled to be asked to come back and sink into her language once mm-hmm. again. And I think we'll be completely overwhelmed because with the music that it's going to be emerging here from the three, Tana, Scott, and Brent, it's people might have to lie down afterwards.
I think so. And so here's what we'll do. We'll let Brent and Scott get ready to perform, and then Tony is going to give us some more representative readings of Willa Cather's writing, and then we will hear, and at the end of that I will reiterate what we're about to hear from the musicians. So, Tony, what do you have?
Well, I have a short passage where Jim Burden, the 12-year-old protagonist, has gone to live in Nebraska with his grandparents. And the little passage I'm going to read, it's simply he goes to the garden with his grandmother and lies down. That sounds as undramatic as you can get, but he's completely swept up in the sensations of the space and the smells in the country. As I looked about me, I felt that the grass was the country, as the water is the sea. The red of the grass made all the great prairie the color of wine stains or of certain seaweeds when they are first washed up. And there was so much motion in it, the whole country seemed somehow to be running. I had almost forgotten that I had a grandmother when she came out, her sunbonnet on her head, a grain sack in her hand, and asked me if I did not want to go to the garden with her to dig potatoes for dinner. The garden, curiously enough, was a quarter of a mile from the house, and the way to it led up a shallow draw past the cattle corral. Grandmother called my attention to a stout hickory cane tipped with copper, which hung by a leather thong from her belt. This, she said, was her rattlesnake cane. I must never go to the garden without a heavy stick or a corn knife. She had killed a good many rattlers on her way back and forth. A little girl who lived on the Black Hawk Road was bitten on the ankle and had been sick all summer. I can remember exactly how the country looked to me as I walked beside my grandmother along the faint wagon tracks on that early September morning. Perhaps the glide of long railway travel was still with me, for more than anything else, I felt motion in the landscape, in the fresh, easy-blowing morning wind, and in the land itself, as if the shaggy grass were a sort of loose hide, and under it, herds of wild buffalo were galloping, galloping. The light air about me told me that the world ended here. Only the ground and sun and sky were left, and if one went a little farther, there would only be sun and sky, and one would float off into them like the tawny hawks which sailed over our heads, making slow shadows on the grass. While Grandmother took the pitchfork we found standing in one of the rows and dug potatoes, while I picked them up out of the soft brown earth and put them into the bag, I kept looking up at the hawks that were doing what I might so easily do. When Grandmother was ready to go, I said I would like to stay up there in the garden a while. She peered down at me from under her sunbonnet. "Aren't you afraid of snakes?" "A little," I admitted, "but I'd like to stay anyhow." "Well, if you see one, don't have anything to do with him. The big yellow and brown ones won't hurt you. They're bull snakes and help to keep the gophers down. Don't be scared if you see anything look out of that hole in the bank over there. That's a badger hole. He's about as big as a big possum, and his face is striped, black and white. He takes a chicken once in a while, but I won't let the men harm him. In a new country, a body feels friendly to the animals. I like to have him come out and watch me when I'm at work." I sat down in the middle of the garden, where snakes could scarcely approach unseen, and leaned my back against a warm yellow pumpkin. All about me, giant grasshoppers, twice as big as any I had ever seen, were doing acrobatic feats among the dried vines. The gophers scurried up and down the plowed ground. There, in the sheltered draw bottom, the wind did not blow very hard, but I could hear it singing its humming tune up on the level, and I could see the tall grasses wave. The earth was warm under me, and warm as I crumbled it through my fingers. Queer little bugs came out and moved in slow squadrons around me. Their backs were polished vermilion with black spots. I kept as still as I could. Nothing happened. I did not expect anything to happen. I was something that lay under the sun and felt it, like the pumpkins, and I did not want to be anything more. I was entirely happy. Perhaps we feel like that when we die and become a part of something entire, whether it is sun and air or goodness and knowledge. At any rate, that is happiness, to be dissolved into something complete and great. When it comes to one, it comes as naturally as sleep.
Tony Flynn, reading from my Antonia. And now back to the music. We'll hear the opening, which is violin and piano, with the violin as a representation of the immigrant voice, and then the poem Dome of Heaven, the song Dome of Heaven, which Brent had read to you earlier, to our studio and the three performers.
Thank you. stand the heat, the burning wind. The grass is the country, as the water is the sea.
From Prairie Songs Remembering Antonia, we heard the opening of Violin Alone, played by Tana Bland, Vandovali Hudai, and then the song Dome of Heaven, in which Scott Miller joined in with those two. We're on our way to two more of those songs, which start representing some of the characters in My Antonia, and those two would be Lena and Cowboy Song. Lena or Lena? Which do you?
I don't know. I say Lena.
Yeah, Lena and Cowboy Song. So how did you evoke these two characters?
Yeah, so Lena, to me, is such a significant character. There's a love with Jim, the narrator of the story. Not a romantic love, but a very deep friendship. And maybe that sense that it could be romantic, you don't really know. So as with the previous song that we just performed, Dome of Heaven, I tried to build the story of Lena by taking snippets throughout the book. And so you'll hear in the song that it talks about her looks and the way that she's loving and et cetera. And so really built that up from these short phrases.
And then change for Cowboy Song.
Cowboy Song. That was an interesting one. I initially thought I would write a song about Mrs. Shimerda, Antonia's mother, and there really just wasn't a lot in the story about her. And Otto is a sort of a bigger-than-life character, and so I, somewhere in the composition process, thought of the idea of a cowboy song, and did a little research and listened and to old authentic cowboy music and looked at the lyrics and so on. But the quirk here is that he was a very quirky character, and so I wanted to represent that musically. And so the technique that I used is something called changing meter. And so most music has four beats in a measure, or perhaps three if it's a waltz. This one alternates between four and three, and just when you think you know where the beat is, there's a 2-4 bar. So it's, to me, really reflects the quirkiness of his character.
And Scott, in singing about this range of characters, talk about it from the singer's point of view, how you approach this stuff.
Well, I like it. It's a lot of times with song cycles and things, there's so much tradition and everything behind them that you feel like you have to sing them perfectly, you know. And with this, because of the eclectic nature of the styles and the different characters, in some ways it's almost like musical theater, because it's freeing actually to me vocally to be able to interpret those characters.
Good. Well, let's send you out for those these two. It's Lena, which is the love song of sorts, as Brent was describing, and then the cowboy song representing Otto and all of his quirkiness through the rhythmic conventions that Brent does. These are pieces, previews of Prairie Songs Remembering Antonia, written by Brent Edstrom, and the three original people involved are performing it right now for us. So back to our studio.
Plump, fair-skinned girl was standing in the doorway. She looked demure and pretty, made a graceful picture in her dress. I thought of her as something wild. Her yellow hair was burned to a ruddy thatch. One had realized how pretty she was. Lena gave her heart away when she felt like it. She was a sweet creature. She used to think she'd like to be my first sweetheart. I could sit idle all through Sunday morning and look at her. Nina's good looks and gentle manners. I never shall think about much else when I'm with you.
One, two, three, four. One, two, three. A desperado singing, I'm a cowboy and I know I've done more. Never really know a man, he said, till you saw him die. Most men were game and went without a grudge, without a grudge, without a grudge. Otto had been faithful to Sunday clothes. With his oilcloth valise, stepped on the train, and after that we never heard from him again. Never really know a man, he said, till you saw him die. Most men were game and went without a grudge, without a grudge, without a grudge. Thank you.
till you saw him die. Most men were game and went without a grudge, without a grudge, without a grudge.
We were just hearing Cowboy Song. Prior to that, it was Lena. So two of the characters in the original book, My Antonia, and sung there by Scott Miller, the violinist Tenna Bland, and the composer Brent Edstrom at the piano. And then we move to the real focus of this, because Brent, when you put together a song cycle, especially based on a large work like this, you have to have some overall sense of what you want to say and where it wants to go, don't you?
You do. And for me, this the piece really concludes with, to me, what is one of the most poignant parts of the novel, where Jim comes back.
And, years later.
Years later. And there are actually two parts of that. One is when Jim leaves, and then initially to go off to college, and then when he comes back years later. And in my estimation, that was really the most significant part of the story, so I wanted to capture that. And the song that emerged was something called Enduring Love. And on this one, unlike most of the other songs, the first verse was actually my own words, and I just felt like I needed that to tell that story. Then the second verse pretty much directly comes from phrases from the novel.
Okay, well, yeah. we'll send you both back to conclude this. First, we'll have the summer dance with violin and piano, and then we'll get to Enduring Love. And I'll go ahead and deliver that first verse, which was the words written by the composer Brent Edstrom, they being, "Enduring love follows me, precious memories do I see, yearning for the love we shared in our carefree youth. Though the years grow long, my heart sings this song. Precious memories of you cling to me." From our studio, two more selections from Prairie Songs Remembering Antonia. We were just hearing the song Enduring Love, preceded by Simmer Dance, played by the two instrumentalists. Instrumentalist Hannah Bland, the violinist, the pianist, the composer, Brent Edstrom, and the singer, tenor, Scott Miller. And I thank all of them. Thank Jim Tevenin for engineering this. You've heard in the course of this hour that's just transpired portions of a concert that will be given tonight at the Bartlett, which is on West Sprague, at just across from the train station. And it's a concert that I'm told is nearly sold out, but maybe not quite literally. One might check with the Bartlett on that. It's a concert at 7:30, the first half being Tango Boccato, and the second half being the complete Prairie Songs Remembering Antonia, which got its first three performances in its native habitat, one might say, of Nebraska. Then it's been performed in France, and now it comes back to the home of the composer, the Inland Northwest. Again, my thanks to everyone involved.